You've been listening to the E21 Go Sports Podcast, a production of Cogger Podcast Network.
Welcome to E21 Go Sports. I'm Easton Durant, and in today's episode, I'll be talking about NFL news, NBA news, and MLB news. I wanted to start this episode off by talking about the Andrew Luck retiring, because I don't think I really touched on that as much as I should have yesterday, and only talked about the quotes, but now I wanted to discuss it a little bit more. So, to the Andrew Luck retiring, I see both ways of it. I see the fan perspective and I see the player perspective, because I could see Andrew Luck retiring because he wants to be able to be with his family and be not in pain for the rest of his life and be able to do anything with his kids, be able to play with them, be able to carry them, pick them up, anything. But I could also see the fan perspective, because I get that the Colts will not be good for a couple of years, because Jacoby Brissett just came there a year or so ago, but that's going to take a while to make up for Andrew Luck, what he did with the team, how well he did with the team, how far he took them in the playoffs, how far he took them in the regular season. Now, moving over to the fan perspective here, I could kind of see it, the fan perspective, as both selfish and what a fan wants, because the fan just wants to see their NFL team do good. They don't care at what cost it is. What cost the players take, what cost the managers, the coaches take, what the owners take. They just want to see their football team do good. Now, I think it's kind of a little bit selfish on part of the Colts fans, because he took them to as far as they've been since Peyton Manning, since the early 2000s. And they've had two almost back-to-back quarterbacks who have been great, good, and one of the best quarterbacks in the league both times. But I don't think that they should have booed him as he went off. He's given so much to that organization. He's been hurt countless times and has been able to rehab through them and miss multiple games for them. Now, I get the multiple games is not good, but shows that he's not just calling it quits after three injuries. He's stuck around for five, six, seven injuries. And also, he's one of the nicest guys in the game. When you hear him mic'd up, it's just someone knocks him to the ground. It's just, hey, nice hit, buddy. Nice hit. Now, moving on to this, I wanted to talk about Jacoby Brissett and what the organization could do moving on here. The Colts will not be able to replicate this success that they've had with Andrew Luck. They won't. He almost took them to a Super Bowl if it weren't for Deflategate. But Andrew Luck wasn't good his first wasn't in top NFL prime and now he is. But just the injuries have taken him back. He's had to rehab almost every step of the way. He's had to rehab. He has missed 26 games since 2015. In 4 years, he's missed almost 2 seasons. In 4 years, he's almost played only 2 seasons. Now, multiple teams, when their quarterback gets hurt, are able to, or when their star retires, or when their star gets hurt, is able to be back to top form. But these teams aren't the Colts. Jacoby Brissett and T.Y. Hilton are good, but I just don't see the Colts as any other thing without Andrew Luck for that standpoint. Like, yes, they'll be decent, they'll be average, but will they be the Colts that we've expected over the past 7 seasons that we've seen with Andrew Luck? That they had 10-6 in last year, got to a divisional round playoff appearance, and they lost that, but will they be able to get back there in the next couple of years? I'd be surprised if they even made it to the playoffs this year. I'd be surprised if they even made it to the wild card this season. I just don't see them having any way to get there. Unless T.Y. Hilton or Jacoby Brissett went off this season. They were one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best wide receivers in the league. I don't see that. As of right now, I don't know, it could change later in the season, but right now I see the Raiders as a better team right now than as better or the same exact team as the Colts. That's just what I see. They both have a great wide receiver as T.Y. Hilton and Antonio Brown. And then they have average quarterbacks like Derek Carr or Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett has been good when he's played, but will he be able to replicate the same exact play that Andrew Luck has had recently? That I just don't see is him having the same success in the short amount of time that Andrew Luck has. Now, moving over to other news, I wanted to talk about the Browns. The Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. participated in team drills today for the first time since early August. He has been battling a hip injury, which has also kept him out of the Browns' first 3 preseason games. Beckham is not expected to play in Cleveland's final preseason game Thursday against the Detroit Lions, but his return to full activity in practice is a good sign. He'll be ready for the September 8th season opener against the Titans. Browns coach Freddie Kitchens said, "He looked good. We've been working on the side with him with other things, just natural progression. It was good to have him back out." Kitchens also added that he is not concerned about the chemistry or timing between Beckham and Baker Mayfield as the two prepare for play their first game together. He said, "They have been working through the whole camp. Just because there wasn't any team drills doesn't mean they weren't working. They'll definitely be on the top of their game when we start playing. It's knowing where to line up, where to be, getting to your depth, and catching the ball. After that, it's get the ball in Beckham's hand and see what he can do." Now, I think the Browns will be good this season. I could see them. Now, people are expecting them to be playoff contenders, but I just don't see it that way. I just don't see them being contenders from last year. You just look at their record and it's okay. It's not that great, but it's not that bad as well. if you read the, I'm looking at it now, and it's their record was 7-8. Now I get the Steelers were 9-6, and the Steelers was supposed to be a way better team, but the Browns were only better than the Bengals by three games. Oh, three games above the Bengals. What I thought was funny and both sad for the Steelers was that their last season, that their playoff hopes were destined on the Browns. The Browns were if the Browns lost that game, which they did, the Steelers didn't make the playoffs, and if the Browns did win that, then they would be. They were 7-8 last year. It was a lot of it was a couple close games last year, but other than that, it was pretty good. But I just don't see them being the amazing team that everybody's predicting them to be. I think they could be better than where they are, than what they were last year, than the 7-8 that they were last year. I could see them being a maybe an 8-7 team or 9-8 team or 9-6 team. Sorry, I just don't see it that much to be calling them like everybody is, like the next best team in the AFC North. Now I get right now the AFC North is up for grabs. I think this season it's between the Ravens and the Steelers. Maybe 2 years from now, maybe it'll be close with the Browns and Steelers, but maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, I could see them as probably that. Because right now they are basically a young offensive team. Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, really young core on the offense. Further down the road, I do see them being a better team, but just not right now. Moving on to NBA news. Nets guard Caris LeVert has agreed to a 3-year, $52.5 million contract extension. LeVert, who turned 25 on Sunday, was eligible for the rookie extension as a member of the NBA's draft class of 2016. LeVert's extension starts at $16.2 million in 2020-21 and escalates to $17.5 million and $18.8 million in the next 2 years. The Nets announced today that they had signed LeVert to a multi-year extension, but did not disclose terms. The deal gives LeVert both security and a chance to return to free agency or negotiate an extension before his 20th birthday. The Nets now have their core of top players, LeVert, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, Spencer Dinwiddie, signed through the 2021-22 season. LeVert missed 42 games with a dislocated right ankle last season. He showed all-star potential for the Nets and the franchise's run to the playoffs. His talents and development in the three seasons with the Nets played a prominent role in attracting big-name free agents Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant this summer. Before the injury, LeVert averaged 18.4 points for the Nets in the early season and returned to top form in the playoffs, averaging 21 points in the 5-game series with Philly. For the season, LeVert averaged 13.7 points, 3.9 rebounds, and 3.8 assists per game. Now, I think this is the Nets' 1 year to test out what they have, what young players they can have work with when Kevin Durant comes back. Because if you're the Nets, you just eat up the contract. You have to eat up the contract for this season. You don't even, if KD wants to play, you don't even let him, because you don't want him to get hurt for more seasons. You don't want him to damage his Achilles more than he already has. I think that the Nets are the best, are one of the best teams in the NBA. When Kevin Durant's there, they are one of the best teams in the NBA. In the Eastern Conference, I think they are one of the best teams in that Eastern Conference. Moving on to other news, Dwight Howard's deal with the Lakers is now official. He has officially rejoined the Lakers 6 years after he left. The 8-time All-Star center and 15-year NBA veteran agreed to a contract with the Lakers today. The non-guaranteed deal comes with big ifs. If Howard disrupts the team, he'll be gone. Howard spent one memorable season with the Lakers in 2012-2013 after joining the club with Steve Nash in the Los Angeles high-stake attempt to create an immediate championship contender. Howard clashed with Kobe Bryant and left Los Angeles as a free agent after they lost in the first round of the playoffs. He bounced to six franchises after that, while the Lakers haven't made the NBA postseason ensuing those six seasons. Howard has been heavily booed at Staples Center ever since he took significantly less money than the Lakers offered and joined the Rockets instead. Howard appeared in 9 games last season after joining the Wizards, but hasn't played since November after undergoing spinal surgery. When healthy with the Hornets in 2017-18, Howard averaged 16.6 points and 12.5 rebounds per game. Moving on, this isn't really news, but Harden is trying to get a one-legged fadeaway step-back three-pointer that he has tried in summer runs. He said, I'm always trying to be creative. I'm always trying to get better at basketball, life, business-wise. I'm always trying to find ways to be impactful. With basketball, you have to be creative. This is my 11th year, and every single year I want to get better. I don't want to stay the same. You've got to find ways to keep getting better, keep growing. Lastly, in NBA news, USA men's team beat Canada 84-68 in Sydney. Donovan Mitchell had 12 points. Kemba Walker, 12 points. Miles Turner, 10 points and 15 rebounds. And Jaylen Brown with 19 points, helping them defeat Team Canada. Moving over to MLB news, the Oakland A's will retire Dave Stewart's number 34 next season. Stewart was on hand at the Coliseum before Sunday's game with the Giants as the A's honor the 1989 World Series championship team. The A's have retired only 5 numbers before Stewart: Reggie Jackson, Catfish Hunter, Ricky Henderson, Dennis Eckersley, and Raleigh Fingers. Stewart will be the first player who's dotted the Hall of Fame to be honored by the A's. Lastly, in MLB news, Atlanta Braves shortstop Dansby Swanson has been activated from the IL after missing over a month with a foot injury. Swanson is starting at shortstop and batting 6th in the Braves game today against the Rockies. The Atlanta Braves optioned outfielder Adam Duvall to AAA Gwinnett to create a roster spot for Swanson. Swanson had been on the 10-day IL since July 24th because of a bruised right foot. But after playing 3 games this past weekend at Class A Rome, Swanson rejoined the Braves in time for Monday's game. The Braves have been on fire. They have won 8 in a row after sweeping the Mets on Sunday. Now, to end this off, I wanted to talk about MLB postseason. As we get closer and closer to the end of the season till October, here's a quick look at the MLB postseason. The AL division leaders would be Houston Astros, New York Yankees, and Minnesota Twins. Right now, they are all almost locked in to be in the postseason. The wildcard teams are Cleveland and Tampa Bay, and Oakland is a half game behind the Rays. One thing that I think is surprising is that the Red Sox have gone this far behind in the wildcard and in the AL East standings. They were supposed to be one of the best teams in baseball this season because they were just the champions. They were supposed to be the best team because they just proved them that they were the best team that year. Now, in the NL, it's the St. Louis Cardinals, Los Angeles Dodgers, and Atlanta Braves are the NL division leaders. Washington and the Chicago Cubs are NL wildcard teams, and Philadelphia is 1.5 games behind the Cubs. Milwaukee is 2 games, and the Mets are two games. Now, two things that I think are surprising and very surprising for the matter is the Mets and the Giants were one of the worst teams in the MLB. They were counted out early. They were supposed to be out of the race very, very, very early during the start of the season. Now they're 65-65 are the Giants and 67-63 are the Mets. Now I remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the Mets. They were a below 500 team, and it wasn't like it was 5 games below 500. It was like 10 or so games below 500. Right now the Mets aren't the worst team, but they're also not the best team in the MLB East. It's kind of a close race between the Mets, Braves and the Nationals, and the Phillies are even close. The Mets are close to the Phillies, which was supposed to be one of the best teams with Bryce Harper and supposed to be big favorites at the beginning of the season. As you look around, it's a little bit of a surprise. The Cubs are 3 games below the Cardinals. The Cubs have been struggling on the road. They haven't really been able to win a stretch or two. Like, I remember a couple of days ago, it was like they could not win a road game. They just weren't able to win that. And it was weird that every road game that they played, they just found a way to lose it. And every single game that they played, it was close to a lot of every road game. Now, the Dodgers and the Yankees have almost identical records, but the Dodgers are 86-46, and the Yankees are 85-47. Now, they're close. They're one game away from each other to be the best team in the MLB. Now, the Yankees beat the Dodgers 2-1 in the series that they had this weekend, Friday and this weekend. But it was a close series, except for Friday's game. It was a close game almost every single game that they played. The Yankees came close to winning on Saturday. They came very, very close to winning that game. They had 2 outs, bases loaded, or 1 out, bases loaded, and they just couldn't find a way to get it done on offense. Well, thanks for listening to DE21 Go Sports. As always, I'm Easton Durant. You can subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at E21 Go Sports. Thank you.
It's time for the E21 Go Sports Podcast. Now, here's your host, Easton Durant.